Again, thank you for inviting me here this day. It is a joy to be with you all. As Pastor Bree said, my name is Ruth Peterson. I've known some of you for many years. I served as the pastor at Joy of Christ in Pearl City, was very involved with the Hukilau. I was chaplain for the Oregon Donor Center and for Pacific Health Ministry. So if you think, have I seen you before? Likely, yes. A few years ago, I moved to the mainland to care for my parents, and a year ago when the opportunity came to come back to serve as chaplain of Kuakini Hospital, I said, well, lightning does strike twice. Thank you, God. And so I have returned and am grateful for the opportunity it gives me as chaplain to supply preach at different congregations. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight and bring us ever closer to living as you would have us live. Amen. Okay, pop quiz. Do the names Nikki Hamlin and Abby D'Agostino ring a bell for anybody? No? Well, maybe if you saw the picture of them, it might bring back memories. Did we get it so it could be shown? Oh, there we go. This is the 2016 Rio Olympics. It has been dubbed as the most beautiful moment of the Rio Olympics. I'm not sure if folks online can see that or not. But if you just Google Nikki and Abby, trust me, it'll pop up. There are tons of photos out there. Nikki was representing New Zealand. Abby is from Massachusetts, graduated from Dartmouth in 2014, and was on the Olympic stage for the 5,000-meter race. It was their chance. They were both seen as having a really good chance to medal. And then this. Nobody knows exactly what happened. Nikki, who fell down to the ground first, said, what happened? Who hit me? What hit me? Why am I down here? And suddenly, there's someone's hand on my shoulder saying, get up, we have to finish this. That was Abby, the American runner. She is the one who had actually caused Nikki to stumble. And by the rules of Olympics, she could have just kept going. But she turned around and said, wait, get up. We're going to finish it together. And if it ended right there, it would have been an amazing story. But wait, there's more. Because after taking a few steps, all of a sudden, Abby collapsed. And this time it was Nikki who reached down and dragged her up. And they crossed the finish line together, never getting a medal, but doing what they felt was right, sacrificing themselves in this world stage, in the Olympics, sacrificing themselves to care for another. It's been called the most inspirational moment of the Rio Olympics. I think I would agree. But I always think of that story when I come across the gospel reading that we had today. Verse 16. I will ask God, and God will give you another advocate. That's what you heard. But that word advocate can be translated so many different ways. And one of the ways it's translated is companion. I will send you another companion. And either way you translate it, God, Jesus is saying, I'm not going to leave you alone. I will continue to be with you. And that's the promise we've been given. And in this world where sometimes it is hard to believe, we are asked to hold on to that promise. After all, haven't you heard, maybe even this week, this day, what kind of a God would allow blank? Fill in the blank. What kind of God would allow Russia to invade Ukraine? What kind of God would allow children going hungry, the homeless population expanding, mass shootings, pandemic that kills millions, people who are prejudiced and rail against others simply because of their race or their gender or their identity? What kind of God would allow that? And in the face of those statements, we say, I know. I know what kind of God. The kind of God who loves me, is with me, and empowers me to do something about it. No doubt about it, in this world today, there are a growing number of people who say, I'm out. I'm done. Researchers have categorized them as nuns. No, not the Catholic women who dress up in black and white habits. Nuns. N-O-N-E-S. Because on surveys, when they say, what is your religious belief? They say, none. N-O-N-E-S. I just don't know what to believe. But this is nothing new, folks. The very first reading this morning from Acts, the speaker was facing just those types of people. Now, Luke and Acts, I know you've heard this before, it's not two separate books. It was really written as one book, but the editors decided we're going to break it into two. And the author was writing to people who had no history of Judaism. They did not grow up in the Jewish faith, so they didn't have that base level of understanding of the scriptures and teachings, the sight that proclaimed the coming Messiah. He was writing to people who come from a wide background. And the story we have today is Paul talking to a whole lot of nuns. Paul talking to a lot of people who have a lot in common with our society today. And we can learn a lot from how Paul approaches them, because he doesn't stand up in front of them and say, you are such idiots. Don't you get it? He treats them with respect. He meets them where they are, unwilling to condemn them for not being able to see, but understanding they just haven't heard the gospel in a way that would invite them in to a journey to live a life as God would have them live. And he begins by laying out why he believes and preaches as he does. And people hear and they listen and they get hooked. And they begin to follow and learn and change their lives. Talking to other people about what you believe and why. Okay, I'm going to say a really scary word for Lutherans. Ready? Take a deep breath. Evangelism. Evangelism is a scary word, but it doesn't and shouldn't have to be. Because evangelism is just simply living your life and sharing what it is you believe when you believe it. One of the best stories I've ever heard of accidental evangelism actually came about from when I was a pastor at Joy of Christ. There was a family there, mother, father, teenage daughter. I'll call them the young family. The husband had been born and raised in Nebraska, Lutheran from cradle to grave, as they say. Jane had been born and raised in a Buddhist family right in Waipahu. They were very active members of the congregation. And I knew they had met in Nebraska because that's where Jane had gone to study, and she'd become a teacher there. One day I asked her, how is it that you became a Lutheran? Expecting to say, well, I met my husband, and then I started going to his church, and then I got baptized. No. You see, when she was a teacher in Nebraska, she became friends with a whole bunch of the other teachers. She said, and I watched, Pastor, how they dealt with all the various struggles and trials in their lives, and they always seemed to deal with it with such love and grace, regardless of what they were facing. And one day she said to one of them, why are you able to live like this? And they all said, it's what we learn at church. So she decided she wanted to learn more of it, what this Christian faith might be all about, and decided to find a church. And since it was Nebraska, well, Lutheran. And after she was baptized and became a member, well, then she met her soon-to-be husband. And when they came back to Oahu to raise their daughter with her family, they became active members of Joy of Christ. I love the fact that it happened by accident. Or you could say it was something that God had planned all along. Ordinary people sitting in their church who didn't leave their faith at the door, but took it home with them, took it to work with them, took it when they played and when they were with others and when they served. When they did all of that, they were saying, it is my faith that enables me to live this way. And the good news is there are so many people out there who are hungry to hear the news. All of those growing percentage of nuns want to hear what all of you have found. And you don't have to quit your job, and you don't have to stand on the street corner. Trust me, I wouldn't do that either. But just who is it that you see in your everyday life who might be questioning? Why do you live the way you do? Why are you able to be who you are? We know that God sent God's only Son to die and rise again so we might have life everlasting and never be left alone. And we listen carefully to that gospel. It reminds us that we do have a part to play. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Simply translated, live like you mean it. Our Lutheran of the understanding of the gospel is key here, folks. Because there are some who understand this gospel reading to mean, if you keep the gospel, you'll earn enough points. If you keep all the commandments, you'll earn enough points, and then you'll earn your way into heaven. No, that is not what we proclaim. Let me be clear on that. That is not what we proclaim. Because I understand what God has done for me, I choose to live my life in service to others, to live as faithful people, to not leave my religion at the door, but to take it with me, to be an example to all of those who are dying to hear. Pastor Bree, I think I sent you another picture. I love that. As I said, they didn't get a medal. Well, that's not quite right. They did not win a medal in the 5,000 meter. But at the closing ceremonies, both of them were presented with, now I'm going to say this wrong, Pierre de Coubertin medal It's awarded to those who exemplify the Olympic spirit. They did not accompany each other for a medal. They got one anyway. We do not live our lives as faithful Christians to get a medal or get our way into heaven. That's already been accomplished for us. We live to show God's love to the world. And we know that the gifts we get in return are far beyond any gold, silver, or bronze. God's love surrounds you this day. Hold on to that and live your life as if you know it. Amen.